While this heat is already causing issues this week at schools around the region, and we found out that Pittsburgh Public Schools, 37 schools will do a half day tomorrow.
And the question I think any reasonable person would ask is, why aren't they doing it today as well? Well, I don't know why they can or they cannot. I'm sure that there are reasons. But
that's a great question. Hey, if you know, 866-391-1020, we'd love to hear from you. Marty just sent me a picture, too, of first day of school. A student dropped a fan on a teacher's car and smashed the did major, major damage. Someone posted it saying, happy first day of school. So,
was this like an attack or an accident?
It looks like they dropped it from a height, you know, from above. And
oh, boy.
Yeah. So, it comes with joy. It comes with excitement. It also comes with that. A little bit of chaos first day of school for a lot of people and a lot of parents. And we're going to be drilling down on one of the issues that we talked about, was how do you handle where we are with COVID? More and more people are saying, oh, yeah, I tested positive. I haven't heard of anyone getting real sick, though there are patients who are. But we're in a whole different place when we come to this subject. But from a practical standpoint, what do responsible parents do if they know their kids have COVID? What are the new protocols? So we're going to get that information. I reached out to some of the medical staff and people that I know because that's an important question.
But I think the important part of it is what you're talking about here is that what do parents do? What's their decision? Not a decision that's made for them.
Well, some parents have just, and I get it, they just ignore it now.
Sure.
And don't. You know, if a kid gets a little sniffle like you normally would when you get back to school, takes a few days to kind of incubate. You're mixing it up with all the kids. And then first time it gets cold and people are all inside the whole time seems to spike this.
Just like what we're going through right now with the hot weather.
But normally that would happen anyway.
Exactly.
But now, you know, the factor with the COVID is like, okay, so how do you handle that? And I think a lot of people are like, I'm not testing. I don't want to know. But yet, where does the responsibility of mixing it up with other people? So how?
It's a really good question, Larry.
And it's one that adults are dealing with every day.
I mean, if you're an older adult and you have like type 2 diabetes or a heart condition or some kind of respiratory illness, and you know, it's wise to test, don't you think? But not everyone should. And aren't the kids, you know, best set up to deal with these diseases as they come along, a common cold, the flu, et cetera?
Yeah, overall.
And how much different is COVID in the long run? I guess we'll look back on it and classify it in the same category. I would assume we would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you just dealt with this a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And it was like a bad cold or the flu.
And what did they give you, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, you know, and this is the part of this, that my experience that I don't mind sharing. I was put on Paxlovid right away. I tested on a Friday morning after work, and then within like 90 minutes, I was picking up the prescription for it after testing. And I took it, and it worked for me, and I was here the next week. And then by Thursday, Friday of the next week, I was starting to feel awful. And by that point, I was fully sick. So I had what our friend Dr. Kevin Wong calls rebound. And he was right about that, and I wound up being very sick, and then I missed the next week of work. And that Saturday night of that following week was the night that our boss called to say that there'd been a shooting at the Trump rally. And that's the night I came in. As the Paxlovid was wearing off.
I know you were in, so people know, Paul's in an isolated news booth, we call it. So you were kind of
hermetically sealed.
As much as we like you hermetically sealed on a daily basis, you're more like a, you know, I joke to people that this is like the aqua zoo, because if you came in here, you'd see different species in these different rooms behind a glass.
There's something I don't want to think about.
What's that?
What species we each would be.
Hey, listen, coming up, this is going to be a huge travel weekend. We're going to talk to Bob Kerlick from the International Airport here. We had a record summer of travel. We're going to get an update on TSA lines and what's going on.
Oh, it's going to be a huge weekend.
And gas prices have fallen, actually. So there's going to be a lot of people on the road anyway, regardless of the price of gas.
Yeah, even with demand as high as it is.
Exactly. So, and we'll also get you just, what are the new protocols for COVID this morning on the Big K Morning Show? Hometown Heroes. Tickets are on sale now, Tuesday, October 8th, which is closer than you think, at beautiful Lamont Restaurant overlooking our great city. And that vision, that view never gets old, Paul. You've been to Lamont, haven't you?
Unforgettable memories. The 12th year you've done this.
Yeah, we appreciate them hosting us this year. We're going to move it up there on the mountain, and we've got our Lifetime Achievement Awardee, Jim Leland, and introducing him will be Pirates broadcast legend Lanny Fratteri, Professor Fratteri from Waynesburg.
It's going to be a special night.
And we have some other surprises. But the bottom line is five people, the nominations still open, but they're going to close soon. So you can go to kdkradio.com if you have someone who you think's doing extraordinary things in our hometown and would like to have us salute them. It's been remarkable to meet the people we have met in the past 11 years, and as Paul pointed out, this is our 12th. I can't believe it.
Hey, you know what? I never knew this until now, or at least maybe I don't know, won't know, but how did you get this thing going? What happened?
You know, we were talking about finding a way to, you know, just recognize people that get overlooked in some cases, because by nature, news is typically bad news for a lot of people.
Right. I mean, listen to my last newscast.
Yeah, it's bad news. And here's the fascinating part of that. People say, it's bad news. But then if you did just all good news, they're not as interested in that. So it has to be a right mix. But in between, you might overlook some people. You give a voice to some people who are every day, regardless of all of this, doing the right thing. You know, doing the right thing should never take a day off. And the fact that we've found so many extraordinary people, I'll give you just one example this morning. One of our previous Lifetime Achievement Awardees is Dr. Jim Withers, who created street medicine here in Pittsburgh at a Mercy Hospital.
And what is street medicine?
He said his dad was the old-fashioned rural physician who used to do house calls. He would go to farms, and sometimes he would go with his dad, and he realized that there was something special about a doctor going out, in this case, to the people in the streets. And this has been going on for years. This isn't just recent. So Jeff Seawald, who is a North Allegheny grad and a documentarian and writer, just did a documentary about Jim Withers. And he actually met Mother Teresa once. And never in his wildest dreams did he think he went to this place to meet another physician to talk about the work that he was doing. And guess who answered the door? Mother Teresa.
Oh, my.
And so he would go out, and still his teams go and help service the unserved that are in our streets. You know, people dealing with medical issues, people dealing with drug and alcohol issues, people just would never in their wildest dreams think that a doctor would come to them, you know, wherever they are. And so based on how he set up his protocol to deal with street medicine, this became, it spread around the country and around the world. Now he's considered kind of the father of street medicine and from right here in Pittsburgh. And that's just one example. And this documentary is coming out, by the way, if you get a chance to check it out. But that's just one example of the kind of people that we have gotten to know and highlight over the past now 12 years. So I'm excited about it. I am.
And by the way, I want to just tag this in. Not all my news is bad. I'm sorry if I left that.
No.
Because one story I want to do at 7:30 but don't have time for is Dave and Andy's Ice Cream is reopening in Oakland. So.
Right.
Isn't that a great story?
You try to balance. Yeah. Right. It's a balance of what you do every day, right? Just like that's the way life is. And unfortunately, a lot of the news isn't great news, which in and of itself is what makes it news. If I just told you there's nothing going on in my neighborhood, would you think that's interesting?
Right, no. and that's the big issue. Is this interesting? I have to ask myself that. Sometimes I miss on that one, but I try to make it all interesting.
Well, it's an important subject because a lot of people do need to know these things. You know, you try to be very judicious about what you select.
But if you're on your way to work and you find out that, you know, the weather's going to be hot and unrelentingly so for the next week, and then you find out that Dave and Andy's Ice Cream is going to reopen in September, it's a wonderful thought because it's a great place to cool off if that's your neighborhood.
You want a sidebar story?
Yeah.
Best and worst McDonald's. How about this? A McDonald's in San Antonio has been ranked the worst fast food joint in America.
Wow.
Fast Company magazine sifted through hundreds of thousands of Google reviews and found the McDonald's near the campus of Texas A&M, San Antonio, was complained about the most for stuff like dried out old food, broken McFlurry machines, and bad service.
Wow.
However, 2 hours down the highway, the Eagle Pass, Texas McDonald's was chosen as the best fast food spot in America. So the yin and the yang.
Was there any reasons behind that? Or
They apparently do everything right. You know, service speed, cleanliness.
There you go.
Fresh food, what you would expect. But that's kind of, it's hit or miss no matter where you go these days.
This brings to mind for me a great memory about McDonald's back in Montana in one of the cities I was living in early in my career. One of the franchisees on one night of the week, it's like a Wednesday night or Thursday, something like that, put out he took the kids' land and he put in supervision for children. Like, you know, a couple of people to take care of the kids. Mom and dad, bring the kids. You can all have a meal together, and then the kids can go play, and then they bring a candle, like candlelight supper for mom and dad to sit there while the kids are playing. It was a great idea. The place was packed.
And the fact that they had a drill sergeant from the Marine Corps in there was to watch the kids made it somehow feel right.
Young parents on a budget looking for some time away from home and a meal away from the house. Oh, what the heck?
This is the Big K Morning Show. Thank you for choosing us. Hopefully you're getting back into a new routine if you're dealing with kids going to school. Tens of thousands of kids started back yesterday, adding to some of the schools that started different days last week. And I think by the time we get to Tuesday after Labor Day, pretty much everyone's back in school. That said, the Labor Day weekend is upon us here in the next few days. Travel this summer has broken records. Let's start there with Bob Kerlick, who is the Vice President of Media Relations for the Allegheny County Airport Authority. And, of course, that includes Pittsburgh International. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you have had, collectively, your hands full this summer. So millions of people, is that an overestimate of have gone through Pittsburgh International Airport in a year?
That's not an overestimate. It has been busy. This is the busiest summer that we have seen since 2005 at Pittsburgh International Airport. And if you think about it, that's really the waning days of the hub. So we are, these are passenger counts that really we haven't seen in almost 20 years out there at the airport.
I would imagine, too, and as we discussed in the past, once you open the new airport, the TSA lines issue, which, you know, you have more passengers, more flights, there's more people, and there have been longer lines than normal, too. But that will mitigate somewhat with the new airport, correct?
That will mitigate somewhat with the new airport. And the reason is, if you think about it, back in the hub days when we had, in 2005, when we had this many people going through Pittsburgh International Airport, they weren't, most of those passengers were not using the checkpoint, right? Because more than half of those, 70% of those passengers were connecting, right? They never saw the checkpoint.
Right.
And so now what we're seeing is, you know, all these people that are using the airport now, they're O&D passengers, meaning those are people that are coming to and from Pittsburgh. So if this is the busiest that this checkpoint has ever been in the history of the airport. And so with the new terminal coming online, we are going to see, there'll be a few extra checkpoint, or excuse me, there'll be a few extra screening machine screening machines that go through the checkpoint. But more importantly, you're going to have one consolidated larger checkpoint that's going to be able to really streamline the security experience, because TSA will be able to maximize staff in a way that they can't do with the two existing checkpoints today. And you'll have one larger consolidated checkpoint that's going to be able to be staffed more appropriately the whole day, right? Because they won't have to expend staff to open up a secondary checkpoint. So yes, with the new terminal coming online, we're going to see a much better and smoother security experience.
You know, Bob, this is a part of a trend of the infrastructure around the country is starting to catch up with the demand. We have new airports coming online in Portland. Salt Lake City just opened one, New Orleans, Kansas City, a new one at LaGuardia, a new terminal over at, Newark, Liberty. This is an exciting time in aviation.
It is an exciting time in aviation, and we're seeing a lot of airports. Look at Cleveland right now. They're just getting started, really, on what they're going to be doing. They're ready to unveil some new plans. So we feel like that we are ahead of the curve a little bit in terms of we're ready to go with the infrastructure that's really meeting the needs of today's travel environment. And we're seeing, yes, those new ones that just opened, and we're seeing a lot more that are coming behind us as well.
We're with Bob Kierlik with Pittsburgh International Airport. And Bob, before we move on to a special day today, I do want to ask you about this weekend and those TSA lines. So what are you seeing off and on a daily basis, and what are you recommending for air travelers?
Well, as we look forward to the Labor Day weekend, it's going to be a busy travel weekend. TSA came out earlier this week and last week saying that this is going to be the busiest Labor Day for air travel ever. So for us, what that means at Pittsburgh International Airport, when we look at the days, the most traveled, most heavily traveled days, Thursday, Friday, and Monday, of course, are going to be the busiest days, and probably Thursday, really Thursday and Friday when you hone in on it and look at it for us. So we expect probably close to 35,000 people per day that are going to be using the airport, and expect long lines in the morning. Really, the long lines that everyone's talking about, it's that early morning bang between 5 to 8 a.m., 5 to 9 a.m. And, you know, if you're checking a bag, if you don't have TSA PreCheck, you need to get there 2 or 3 hours in advance. Now, if you have TSA PreCheck, you should be fine. Two hours is more than enough time. Or if you have a midday flight or even a late afternoon flight, typically 2 hours is usually should be sufficient as well.
All right, that's a good heads up. And what's happening today? I know you, ironically, as an airport going to the National Aviary, where there are a lot of birds.
We do have an event at the Aviary tonight. So we are celebrating the 1 year anniversary of our Pit to Work program. And what that is, it's a workforce development program that we launched last year in conjunction with Partner for Work and a lot of trade organizations, where we are using the new terminal project as a way to leverage workforce development in the region to help people gain skills in the construction industry and the trades to be able to get meaningful jobs and career training. So we have seen more than 50 people come through classes to get that construction certification, trades training. And a lot of these people, they get hired by the unions right out of the trade classes that we are doing in conjunction with Partner for Work, and it's really changed a lot of lives. We've gotten excellent feedback from the people that have gone through the classes, and that some of these people are actually that have been hired by the unions are actually working on the new terminal full time now. And so it's really come full circle. It's a program we're really proud of, and it's something that's been fantastic for the community as well.
Partner for Work and Pit to Work, 1 year anniversary today. And by the way, Bob, I've seen from a distance, you know, when I went up to the alternate checkpoint through the glass there, if you walk in that corridor, you can see the new airport. It's there and it's getting close. We don't have any hard opening day because you know how construction projects are. You never know exactly, but it will be next year, right?
It will be next year. And anybody that's coming into the terminal, when you are turning into the airport from the Parkway West, you can really see it off in the distance and it looks fantastic. And if anybody's flying out and they want to catch a glimpse of it up close, if they walk down concourses C or D, if they have some extra time in the morning, they can really look out those concourse windows and get a great view. Larry, for you, anytime you want to come out, we'll be happy to give you a tour on the construction site out there. Get your hard hat, get some vests, and show you around.
Oh, I like that. I'll probably have to call Shumway to come with me from KDK TV, my old radio partner. He loves that stuff.
He'd put on his little vest and his hat.
Hard hat and a vest. You got it. Well, happy anniversary today, and thank you, Bob. We'll check in, and I'm going to do that. We'll come out, we'll do some interviews, and talk about the new airport. Thank you.
That'd be great. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Bob Kierlik, who is Vice President of Media Relations with the Allegheny County Airport Authority, which, of course, the big biggie is Pittsburgh International.
And, of course, one of the things that we didn't get to talk about, and I want to mention real quickly, not only are we getting a brand-new terminal that's so much closer to the gates and more convenient with a faster process for getting through, but the concourses are going to be improved as well. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be like a new airport on the inside completely.
And do you know when this airport opened? The late Fred Hansberger and I, who was a great star on this radio station for many years, and I did a show as the opening ceremony in what they called the old Rainbow Machine.
Was that 92 or 93?
I think it's 93.
Yeah.
And we were interviewing everybody back then about this exciting new airport.
What an upgrade it was. I remember changing planes at the old Greater Pittsburgh International, and those concourses were crowded.
My buddy Tony, let's see if I can find this. This is actually excellent, where he says he's gone through just being here. Something doesn't make sense to me. I'm less than 70 years old. I've been through 3 airports, 3 baseball stadiums, 3 football stadiums, 3 hockey arenas. You know what that means, Tony? You're getting old. That's actually kind of amazing.
I do remember when the new terminal opened, and man, that was a big deal.
Coming up right after the news at the top of this hour with Paul Rasmussen, we're going to talk to the Chief Medical Officer, Independence Health System, Dr. Carol Fox, about what are the new protocols for COVID when it comes to kids and back to school. So important information on the way. And just talking to Bob Kierlik from the airport, thinking about the record number of travelers, this is anticipated to be the biggest air traffic Labor Day weekend of all time.
Oh, it's going to be an amazing time. Now, everybody likes a cheap airfare, getting a bargain on an airfare, especially if it's a heavily traveled route, like you travel several times a year.
Right.
Sometimes you'll pay $600, sometimes you pay $300. Well, how about this one? How about buying a $20,000 ticket for less than $5,000? Qantas mistakenly gave 300 discounts to customers online for nonstops between Australia and the U.S. at about $5,000. 85% discount. What did it all really amounted to? These 300 customers are now, what they're doing is they're saying, well, here's what we'll do. You're not going to get to sit in first class. We'll rebook you in business class, or we'll refund your money. But I mean, first class, can you imagine for $5,000 sitting there and being brought champagne every so often and gourmet meals and you have your own little suite?
Call me when you have no class. How can they do that? They can't renege on that.
They're reneging.
They should get the first class. Yeah. But who could afford a $20,000 one-way airfare?
I don't know any of these people.
Who are these people? From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA Traffic powered by Bowser Genesis in Monroeville, let's get a quick update with Ellie Popovich.